It's really a great encounter of a man who has an experience with the action of Jesus, and he defends what happens even in the midst of severe accusation. And we learn three things from this particular text. And it all surrounds the reality that this text is not about someone who is blind now being able to give, to have sight. What Jesus is after here is another instance in which he is describing the true reality of faith. That there are those who really see, and there are those who think they see but don't really see at all. And this man helps unfold that reality for those who are in the midst of questioning him. And the first thing that we learn from this text is that people have, they always come to the table in terms of their convictions with preconceived assumptions and beliefs that often prevent them from seeing truth when it hits them in the face. For the Pharisees, they had these preconceived notions of what religion should look like. They were the ones who were holy. Certainly a man born blind who is a beggar who obviously must have sinned to deserve this, but then again, he was born blind. So, okay, so we'll attach that to the parents. The whole family's messed up. Therefore, they're ungodly. They're not worthy of God's action in their lives. And when it comes to religion, we are the religious ones. We understand how it plays out. Healing shouldn't happen on the Sabbath. This happens on the Sabbath. In the reality of what this remarkable, miraculous thing that happened to this man is that because their preconceived notions of what religion ought to look like, they don't see it for its face value. And they reject it out of hand. And this happens all the time. When people come to the table of faith with preconceived notions passed on by their parents or by their own traditions, and they assume this is what it always should look like, and they don't get to the heart of the matter of what's really being taught in Scripture or being proclaimed throughout the Christian tradition, and it prevents them from seeing the truth. Those who are not Christians as well have preconceived understandings of what Christianity looks like from the outside. When someone comes to them and describes what's happened to their life, it becomes a stumbling block. It becomes a wall which they cannot begin to see through. This is a reality of life, that there are those who experience the hand of God in their lives, but other people, even when it's put right in front of them as actually occurring, they will not see it simply because of what they bring to the table. Ironically, even the most people who claim to be the most open-minded are the ones whose preconceived notions prevent them from actually investigating, hearing testimony, and coming to faith. But secondly, you notice it's not only their preconceived understanding of religion, they eventually begin to shift towards anger at the man. I'm better than him, as I've already mentioned. He must have been a sinner for the condition in which he was indefinitely confined to. His parents must have been sinners. He must have been a disciple of Jesus. They assume the worst of him despite his testimony. You must have been with Jesus, therefore the implication is you're making this whole thing up. We can't trust you. It's another reality of human nature is that when we get caught in the midst of a situation where we have to confront the truth, we tend to put ourselves higher to make ourselves feel better and put other people's down to feel lower. And we don't take them at face value. We also, incidentally, don't take the truth at face value when those kind of things happen. But the most important thing in the midst of this discussion is not only that their preconceived notions of their understanding of life and religion prevent them from seeing the truth, not only does their preconceived notions of what kind of stratus layers are in humanity from which they are higher grades of people and lower grades of people, the third thing is that really at the heart of it is their anger at Jesus. So everybody has to come into contact with who Jesus is, who he says he was, what he says he came to do, and what he promises if we would but believe in him. Pharisees had already made up their mind. We don't like him. He's disrupting the way we've understood the faith. He's doing things out of order, healing on the Sabbath, for example. He's not giving due diligence and bowing down to the temple authorities. So we dismiss him out of hand. And therefore, they rig the interviews to have people provide false testimony against him in order to justify and to bolster their own preconceived opinions about him. But everybody has to come face to face with who Jesus is, who he says he was, and what the Bible says he did on our behalf. And there are many who will be, according to Jesus, guilty of not really seeing the truth, primarily not simply because they have preconceived understandings of religions or because they have faulty views of others, but they, at the end of the day, look at Jesus and say, he could not be who he says he was, and I do not therefore believe. And it really is what comes down to those who have sight and those who do not, is the confrontation of the person of Jesus. Is he the Son of God? Is he the one who says that he is the Savior of the world? Is he the one who came to die for our sins on the cross? Is he the one who was raised again on the third day to prove that he wasn't simply a common criminal crucified on a cross by Romans, which happened routinely every day, but he was rather confirming what he always says that he was, God sent for us. And when those of us who see, we know that Christianity is something that, yes, can be investigated along the way, but it's also something that is experienced. And these Pharisees refused to investigate properly and also refused to hear the testimony of what happened. And it really begins to cloud the possibility that faith could happen. But we as Christians present Jesus Christ both in terms of the evidence of his life, what he says about himself, as well as our own experience of what has happened to us. Because yes, we do believe that Christianity is not merely a philosophy, it's actually a history of God's interaction with humanity. But that history also has an intersection with our own lives in which we're not just along for the ride, we're actually impacted personally. We can describe what it is that happens to us when we believe in him. And it usually describes what a life of darkness is like, in which we are following our own ways, and now a life of light, in which we now see things entirely differently. A humorous story is recounted in the Wesleyan Revival in the 1700s by a real hard-drinking miner, and who had been converted through this revival, and he was so greatly changed by it that some of his fellow workers in the mine just mercilessly ridiculed him. And one of them one day asked him in jest, "You don't really believe that nonsense of the Bible where Jesus changed water into wine, do you?" And the man replied, "Listen, I don't know if Jesus changed water into wine. I wasn't there." He goes, "But here's what I do know. I've met Jesus, and in my house, Jesus changed beer into furniture." Now, that's no indictment on good beer, but that is a reality of what his life looked like before, where he was, with his own irresponsibility, sending his family down the river, to now responsibly providing for the needs of his family, living a life of integrity and character, not by his own philosophy, but because he had been changed through Jesus Christ, meeting him and opening his eyes. "I don't know," is what the man says, "but here's what I do know. I once was blind, but now I see." And Christianity is full of these examples. Reading a biography right now on C.S. Lewis, who himself was a staunch atheist, reinforced in that atheism through scientific inquiry as well as literary research. It was his own deep immersion into literary realities as a professor of English that he eventually became to faith through the friendships of J.R.R. Tolkien, famously known for The Lord of the Rings. And he became a Christian, calling himself the most reluctant convert in all of England, but he came through an experience of not only investigating the truth of Christianity for himself, but the reality that he had been changed personally by God. A modern example of this is Mr. Francis Collins. Some of you know him as an American physician geneticist, known for his discoveries of disease genes, and headed up the Human Genome Project for mapping what? DNA. He was a staunch atheist who, in his own scientific inquiry, investigation, became a Christian, a very solid Christian, such that he has received, much the same way as Lewis had, ridicule in the press. Preconceived notions, scientists shouldn't believe in God. Maybe there's something faulty about Francis Collins because he has come to faith in Christ. There must be some kind of, you know, inherent internal need for there to be a God. But at the end of the day, what the real beef with is Collins' faith in Jesus. But Collins is still working right now as the founder and the president of, or actually the director of the National Institutes of Health, still mapping genes and believing in Christ. I could give announcement, or I could give example after example of people who have come to Christ. And the one thing they know is that they've investigated the truth of what he is, and they had an open mind to allow their preconceived notions to fall away. They're also impacted personally by Christ, often through friends. But at the end of the day, they came face to face with who Jesus was, and Jesus did something to them that they cannot explain, but it is for them true. I once was blind, but now I see. And in much the same way we sing Amazing Grace, which we sang last week, it was written by a man, John Newton, a former slave trader who himself was converted, changed his life completely, and became a minister of the gospel. I once was blind, but now I see. This is what it means to encounter new sight. And we should be like the man born blind who was healed to defend what we have been experienced, declaring the truth of the history of the Christian faith, declaring our own experience of it, and being not ashamed of what Jesus has done to me. Who knows? He may continue to change beer into furniture for you. It is he alone who gives us new sight. Let's pray.